welcome back to the show. I love having you in.
Thank you. I've had
you and the entire quintet in here, and sometimes, and it's very interesting. We're talking earlier with George Freeman, who, of course, is the younger brother of the late Von Freeman, who have been, on some level, any saxophonist is going to be influenced by Von.
Absolutely. And, you know, you have to, it's almost a rite of passage. You have to go to his jam, you had to go to Von's jam session at the new apartment lounge. And I was fortunate to play with him a couple times. And when I was a youngster, he at least would know whatever I was trying to do at the time. He would, you know, he heard something and was like, "Hey, man, I hear what you're trying to do," which is almost a backhanded thing. What you're trying to do as opposed to what you're doing.
Well, they were. I mean, it was interesting that George was talking too about, he kept using that phrase "coming up."
Yeah.
And this person helped me when I was coming up. And he was telling stories about, I mean, you would have loved it. He was telling stories about Charlie Parker.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so he tells me, next time you're at Jazz Showcase, where I know you played occasionally, that beautiful blow-up picture of Charlie Parker, he is wearing George Freeman's tie.
No kidding.
And he told this fascinating story about how Von told him he shouldn't go on stage without a tie. And he goes, what am I going to do? And so they took the tie. It's a very funny story. But there is, it also goes to that. You have a great, great, Chris Green, appreciation of the history of jazz. I mean, you were influenced by
absolutely.
It. Why? Chris? And you and your colleagues in the quintet, all of you have an appreciation for it.
The older I'm getting, the more I'm, you know, it's like one of those things, the more you know, the more you realize how much you don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, like, I'll get on a binge of somebody I really like, you know, like, say, Sonny Rollins or whatever. Actually, no, even like, I just was going through some old vinyl, and I found this, like, you know, best of the tenor collection, you know, and had all the kind of old swing guys, Lester Young and Coleman Hawkins and Don Byas. But then there was this other guy named Julian Dash, who I'd never heard of. And he was like just kind of a regular old swing guy, like, you know, more on the R&B early 50s instrumental, kind of in that King Curtis kind of vein, you know, maybe a prior to King Curtis. But I'd never heard of this guy. And so now I've been checking out some of his stuff. And so it's just kind of like, wow, you know, I thought I knew a lot of stuff. And it turns out I need to, we're always constantly learning, you know.
But some people, that's an admirable way to feel. But I there are a number of people I know who are not constantly learning, who think they have hit. Yeah, not saying you're better than them, or it's a different, just a different way of artistically growing.
You know, I mean, not knocking the people that find the thing that really hits and they're able to, you know, make a career out of it. I know that attacking the history or learning as much about the history of the music, I only know it's going to make me better. You know, and I only know that it'll make me, as an individual musician, it'll make me more versatile, because I'll be able to play more older stuff and more modern stuff, and even just on as a band leader, I've got more stuff to draw upon. And then if I make some great artistic statement or whatever, I can say, you know, I can say with authority, you know, like.
Well, I think this CD, and it amazes me. I mean, you and I have talked before, mm-hmm. and virtually I'll put the arm on every musician who comes in here to talk to me about the chaotic stage of modern contemporary recording these days. This is a live CD, limited edition. Play Space, because it was taped live at Space.
Yes.
Talk to me about the leap to you and your three pals sitting around saying, I think we should make another CD. That obviously is the beginning of it. Why?
Well, here's the thing. Well, so we have these, in addition to the albums we've released, they have three kind of freebie giveaway albums called Playtime, which kind of named after one of my favorite movies, Playtime. So, and usually what we'll do, if we get like a good soundboard recording or something, I'll just kind of like throw it up on a SoundCloud or Bandcamp or whatever, and just say, hey, people who followed us around for years, you know, here's something.
Of which there are an increasing number.
Yeah, so thank you very much for following us around. Here's a nice little simple live recording that you'll like, you know, that you can download for free. But so we played Space last January, and it was a really great night. It was if I recall correctly, and again, we weren't necessarily planning on making a recording. Space has the option, if you give them a few extra dollars, they'll give you a really nice digital recording of the night. And so we weren't really planning to record, and it actually ended up being a really great night attendance wise, like 100-some people there.
Wow.
We were like up against the Grammys, and I thought, and it was the middle of January.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, no one's gonna be
so
here.
It's weather like middle of April.
Exactly. Exactly. It's January and April. But you know, it ended up being a really great night, and ended up being like a really just we were really together and really playing really well, and I just kind of I was initially just gonna like, you know, throw it back, you know, hey folks, here's another freebie, but I just kind of listened to it. I was like, you know what, this is really good, and I think people might pay for this one. So it was never really a plan to make a record until I kind of listened to it.
Listen to it. So I mean, obviously one of the advantages of doing something live, I was listening not long ago to Sarah Vaughan live at Mr. Kelly's, and I'm trying to imagine the differences in the technology involved of doing that. You must have had to have microphones all over the place.
Big tape machine or something in the room.
So the technology, that's one reason why it is easier to do a live piece.
Exactly. I mean, you know, they've got the means to at this play. I mean, it's already pretty technologically sound. Space is great.
Space is such a nice
wonderful
place.
What great room, great intimate room. But what they offer, like I said, they offer just a you know, multi-track recording, and you know, and you walk out with, you know, you bring them a little flash drive, you can put the whole show on the flash drive, and you walk out with the whole show. And so, like I said, I was listening to it, and I was like, this is really good. So we kind of did what we usually do. We gave the recordings to our guy Joe Todorici, our producer. You know, he worked his magic on it, and you know, we wanted to do this particular CD with very little fanfare. Typically, when we put out a CD, it's like, you know, it's almost like the game. You know, everyone's talking about Game of Thrones, like we're
the premiere of Game of Thrones.
The premiere is
another
coming.
Chris Green CD.
You know, I always make a big deal about it. Another CD is coming, and blah blah blah, and you know, get ready. You want to pre-order this? I just kind of did the kind of surprise thing. Like,
I think it's very smart. It's out. Listen, you know, you're going to be on all the way till 11. I want to listen. Have you give us a good, like, you know, not some of the cuts are quite long, but really a good sample. I think you people, the Chris Green Quartet, were just playing every Saturday, every Saturday now at Andy's. It's not like every Monday. This is every Saturday.
Yes, this month. Yep.
At Andy's, which is still among the great jazz clubs in this universe. Levin East Hubbard. How's that going?
It's good. It's good. We did Mondays last year.
I remember. I wrote about you guys.
That's right. Yes, you did.
On January 30th.
Yes, you did. We were just about to start that.
2018. And it was a wonderful piece for me to write. Because I plumbed you guys and asked, because I found all of you guys are interesting. Why do you play? And just simply ask the question, why do you play jazz?
Right.
But you were doing Mondays in Andy's.
We're doing Mondays, and it's a different. It's a different vibe. Like that was a great. The Mondays run was a great run, and the Saturdays are great. It's two different types of people. Monday people are kind of the in town conventioneers, looking for something to do, looking to go to a place where they, you know, either they're going to go to Buddy Guy's to see Chicago blues or Andy's to see Chicago jazz.
Right.
So the Saturday people are a little bit more like, maybe a little more savvier, like
sophisticated. Savvier is a
only in
word.
The sense of like what they'll do is they'll come in like for meal, and they're actually there to see music. And they're there. They'll go so far as to like. I looked to see who was playing, and I checked out all the info on you, and like, they've done their homework, and it's really like.
See,
oh,
that's another
thing.
I rail against most technological developments, but you know, certainly the internet has enabled people to get. You know, if they want to go to a restaurant, they can see the food.
Right.
If they
right.
want to go see a jazz guy, they can hear the music.
Exactly.
I mean, it makes it easier. Chris Green's going to be here all the way till 11. You're going to hear some music. We're going to talk some more because I like talking to him because he's smart. Chris Green Jazz is the website. Chris Green with an E, actually with threes.
Yes.
But you guys are smart. ChrisGreenJazz.com. Thank you. will. I promise you'd play you a longer version of the Chris Green Quartet because it is, well, it's Damien Espinosa on piano, Mark Piani.
Mark Piani, right.
Piani, yeah, that's right, on double bass. And who's the last guy? Wait a minute, I wrote about Steve Corley.
Steve Corley
on drums. Last year, in January of 2018, I wrote about them. And they were incredible. You can look it up easily. Just look up Rick Hogan and Chris Green Quartet, and you'll find the story. We're talking about this new, specifically this new live album that was taped. I don't know.
You can still say taped.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you can still say taped.
Thank you in my expertise in this new electronic world. You can get the album as a download. You can get it as it's handsomely packaged,
yes,
too.
Yes.
That's another thing. All of your stuff, all of your CDs, even though you do just send out a song every once in a while to your fans, you like to have them in those packages, don't you? Why, Chris?
You know, I'm old school. I know I think we can agree.
Sure.
It's like I grew up with albums. You grew up with albums.
Yep.
You know, a cohesive artistic statement. A collection of songs that you were about whatever was going on in your life or whatever at the time that encapsulates that moment.
Well, and they're also they are. I'm rail about this all the time that they are. They're not just, you don't toss up 10 tunes and just, well, this one landed here and this
right.
one. There's a narrative to each of your CDs.
There's always something. It's a pun, if you will, like Music Appreciation or, Boundary Issues was the last one, Play Space. Kind of, an amalgam of the Playtime freebie stuff that I was going to do and then Space, you know, the place that we recorded it. So I just kind of like mashed them together. And even the cover... A guy, a real super talented guy, a fan of ours, a guy by the name of Kerry Cochran, a graphic artist, art. He does all kinds of art. He lives in Winnetka, and he's come out to our shows several times. And he'll doodle and just do something on a napkin, and then send it to me or give it to me after the gig. And so afterwards, one gig in particular, he drew the picture, the cover that the wow. thing that ends up being on the cover, like. He was just screwing around, and then next morning he emails me this cover, and I'm like, dude, I hope you don't mind. That's going to be our next album cover. It's like,
said, I'm flattered.
And he's like, how much do you want? He's like, just buy me a drink or something next time you see me. And I was like,
well, that's maybe the best deal you'll make in a long time. What do the other three guys think of the? Obviously, you like this live CD, and I think a live CD is just such a rarity these days. What do the other boys think?
They dug it. I think the decision to make it like an official release was kind of like a surprise. But I mean, they're used to thought out melodic, methodical Chris Green, and then they also know that the impulsive decision will come. That's what we're doing. Okay,
you guys are, and I discovered this when I talked to all of you at length about your music and your backgrounds. You're a wonderfully collaborative quartet. I mean, you listen to each other, you respect each other, you bring different elements into it. Expand on that for me.
It's just, I'm not on stage alone, for one thing. And, it helps me be a better band leader. Here's the thing. I heard this recent quote from Quentin Tarantino, who was talking about, he was talking to Terry Gilliam, I think, about they were talking at some film festival, and I think Quentin was like brand new, and he was like, how do you get your, asking Terry Gilliam, how do you get your vision on screen? Like, how do you, you clearly have a vision. How does it go from your idea, it's in your head, to there? I guess Gilliam's response was, you don't have to know how to like do costumes. You don't have to know how to do cinematography. You don't have to know how to move the camera. All you need to know is how to explain what you want to do.
Interesting.
And hire talented people to do it.
Yeah, interesting.
And that's pretty much like I've worked with the three of the best musicians in the city of Chicago, and their creative in their own right, but they also see the big picture about like what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I talk about this all the time. Like, I can write tunes, but sometimes I can't figure out an ending. Mark is really good about helping me with end songs, or you know.
Now you guys have been together since about 2005.
2005. 2005.
That's a good long time for a group who does not play, you know, 5 days a week together.
Yeah.
And how do you, you've got a great thing going on. Again, it's Chris Green Jazz, Green with an E at the end of it, meaning three E's in Green. ChrisGreenJazz.com. Saturday's at Andy's this month.
Yep.
And what are your ambitions for this group?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because you are building. I mean, I hear about you all, especially since I wrote that piece. People are saying, where are they playing? I saw that band you wrote about, and which is a very good thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
First of all, it tells people reading newspapers.
They're
reading newspapers and going to see jazz.
And buying albums, buying whole albums,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
What are the ambitions? You know, really more... Just build, you know, building an audience. You know, I detest the term brand.
Me too.
I detest that term immensely. But there is
we
live in that age where you have to think brand.
Before we take a break, let's pick a song and we'll hear, you know, a good 3 minutes of it. I think don't you think that'll give people
absolutely.
It's your call. Dan Long is operating the board.
Maybe was it number four? Crossover Appeal, maybe? Is that the one? Hopefully I got that right.
That's five.
Did I say five? Oops. I don't know my own.
You don't need to know numbers.
Don't even know my own. I put together the album. I don't even know it. Jeez.
Yeah, Crossover Appeal. Let's hear a few minutes of that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I have a few more minutes, never enough, with Chris Green. You can go to his website after you've listened to the Carl Amari show, which comes on after this. And Chris's website is chrisgreenjazz.com. He and my three other pals of the quartet play every Saturday night at Andy's. How many sets do you do?
Two 90-minute sets.
You must have been, we talked a little about Andy's before, you had a Monday residence mm-hmm. there earlier in the year, in 2018. And when the owners of Andy's come and say, hey, you want to do Saturday nights? You must have been, it sounds like... But it may not be. It sounds like, wow, you're graduating to the big time at Andy's. Mm-hmm. But you talked about the differences in the kind of crowds.
Yeah, no, it's a different crowd. The Monday's crowd, they're just looking for something to do in Chicago, whereas the Saturday crowd know exactly what they're going to see.
That's an interesting point, yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's definitely a graduation of sorts, just because you're – we had the – 9-month residency of Mondays, so now we're just doing like a month or so of like Saturdays. But I like it.
You four guys are so smart and intuitive. Do you change the ways in which you play or the things you play based on a crowd ever?
Good question. Kind of sort. We rarely, like I think, like I said in the article, like we never write a set list,
right?
But we try to go with like the vibe of the crowd. Like if say like we played like last year we played a concert at a library in Arlington Heights, mm-hmm. and we knew that we couldn't necessarily, we only had an hour, and so we couldn't really hit them over the head with like our really crazy stuff.
Yeah,
but the stuff that had a little more of a groove, like that we could get some heads nodding and some feet tapping, mm-hmm. that's we kind of hit them with a lot of that stuff. And we kind of step out of the box with like a crazy time signature, like here and there. But we don't necessarily change what we do, but we kind of, we've got enough diverse stuff in our repertoire that like if we could play, like we've played like, say a retirement home where people are expecting like this kind of stuff, yeah. like really like 1930s, 40s swing. And so we can pull stuff that they would like, and then we could pull, you know, like at Space where we can do whatever the heck we want.
Yeah.
We can just kind of go all over the place. So
it's a wonderful thing that your two, you know, main homes here are Space and Andy's.
Yeah.
I mean, it just literally, I mean, I love the Showcase too, and I love, you know, I love the Acorn Theater right. up in, if you're listening, David Fink, I love the Acorn Theater and you mm-hmm. in Three Oaks, Michigan. You got a good life. I mean, you know, you're $10 million in the bank, but Chris
right.
Green, you were,
I'm doing okay.
You know, that's one of the things, and we talked about it in that article too, and I talk about it with most artists, that there are great sacrifices one makes with, you know, you don't have an IRA, you don't have a pension thing, but it's the passion that drives you.
Exactly.
And the rewards are different.
Yeah.
They may not show up in a bank account, but they show up in some kind of soul account.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, money comes and goes. You know, I eat every day. My son has clothes on his back.
Yeah.
You know.
Your son's cute,
dude. Yeah. He's you know, he's growing up, and, you know, so, and I've got a hugely supportive, you know, wife and family and everything else. So, you know, it's good. All those little things help me to kind of cobble out my little,
well,
my
it's
little
more, existence. It's so. More than cobbling. Let's, before you leave, let's listen to about 4 minutes of another song, because I think this really does give the listeners a taste, and much more so than, you know, the 30-second bump in or something. What would you like to hear?
I think, was it the last one? Number two, Thundersnow. Perfect one. Yeah, this is something that Damien wrote, and this is, this is one of our all-over-the-place kind of songs.
Right. We'll be right back. I love this. That's Chris Green on sax, Damien Espinosa on piano, Mark Piani on bass, and Steve Corley on drums.
Yep.
That is the Chris Green Quartet every Monday. They used to play every Monday at Andy's. Now they are every Saturday at Andy's. Mm-hmm. Are you doing any traveling?
Doing some traveling, doing some stuff in Detroit, Michigan, and South Bend, Indiana, and then a couple things. We're supposed to go out west this fall.
Neat. How do you find when you do travel? I mean, the jazz scene in Chicago is, I would hazard to say, relatively healthy.
Yeah.
It's not as explosive as it was, 20, 30 years ago. I've just done many venues, but I think the crowds are good.
Yeah.
And appreciative. How do you find it around the country when you do travel?
I think Chicago surprisingly has, we've got a fair amount of a decent reputation. I mean, yeah. And we've had a fair amount of
talent.
People, talent yeah. come out of there and, go off to New York or California or whatever. So our reputation precedes us in a lot of ways. But also just, I think people like music. People like good music. And yeah. I think a lot of that just, the goodwill that we've built up over the past few years is starting to carry to other places, and people are starting to reach out to what we do.
One of the things, Chris, just because you're such a thoughtful guy, talk to me for a couple of minutes. We've got about 4 minutes left.
Okay.
But talk to me about the value of live performance. I think the world is getting, we don't communicate in the same ways, and we tweet mm-hmm. instead of talk, and we get sort of removed from that whole
right.
thing. And I think, I know a lot of kids, who have never, just seen a movie in a movie theater.
Oh, wow.
It's like, why would I, and they're like, why would I do that? I can get it on my TV, get it on my phone.
Right,
I'm
right.
like, well, there's a different experience. Talk to me about that for a second.
It's funny you should mention that. Like, a couple years, a couple years ago, I got a chance to see Branford Marsalis play some classical music with the CSO.
Yeah.
And, you kind of, stupid me taking something as great as the CSO for granted, but I hadn't really been to there in it's been about 10 years since I'd been to see something there, and you're used to hearing classical music everywhere in the department store or whatever.
Sure.
But to see that, to have that live
mm-hmm.
the biggest string section in the world just wash over you is just like, whoa. And even not to quote, not to pat ourselves in the back, but I forget that we as musicians have, we have that power. People come to see live music, forget their troubles or just
yep.
have a good time or fill up a day or whatever, fill up a night. But, and I forget that we, when we're on stage, not just CGQ, but we musicians in general have that power, to uplift people and stuff.
What you see on stage is the human interaction between it.
Right.
It is music.
Yes.
And that's the main thing. But you're seeing people look at each other in different ways and
absolutely.
Move. And it's like there's a sort of spontaneous choreography that happens to a lot of it, too.
There is. And even though, our typical music goer or club goer doesn't necessarily know about the intricacies of what's going on or who my influences are or
sure.
whatever, they still know how they feel afterwards or they know how you made them feel, or they know something's going on with their brain and
that's
heart.
That's the thing, man. Something is going on.
And they know.
Chris Green, it is always a pleasure to see you and talk to you, too. Chris Green is part of the Chris Green Quartet with Damien Espinosa on piano, Mark Piani on bass, and Steve Corley on drums. You can see them every Saturday night at Andy's, which remains one of the great jazz clubs in the world, 11 East Hubbard. And the new CD is out, but just go to Chris Green, your internet people, go to Chris Green with an ejazz.com. Chris, always good to
thank
see you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate
always
that.
Good to
thank
see you.
You.